Such a privilege to get to be back this evening. Had a fantastic retreat. Chris said he gave glowing reviews for it this morning, so I won't bore you with that again. I would like to give a special thank you to Jody Sparks, who taught our Friday Night Light Bible study, 7 o'clock this past Friday. This coming Friday, Daniel McCary is going to be teaching. So if you are able to come to the building at 7 o'clock, I know Daniel's going to have an excellent class. Tonight, our sermon is entitled, Walk in Love. And if I could get someone to turn that back projector on, that would be great. When we consider walking in love, I can't help but think of a gold ring. There are all kinds of gold rings. And a show that I liked to watch back when me and Lisa had cable was How It's Made. And they would always start with the end product. And then they would show you the beginning, the middle, and all the way to the end. So you got to see every step of the process. You got to see how they made those different types of things. So here is the gold ring that I found online. It's very pretty. Hope you like it. But when we consider the gold, gold has to come from somewhere. Takes people prospecting. They go to different areas. They take different samples. What they end up doing is taking dynamite and blowing up the rock. So there you see a nice blast. If you look closely, you can see chunks of gold. Not really, because that's not how gold is mined. So I learned quite a bit in this lesson. So what we end up finding is that it comes out in chunks. This one is kind of spectacular. Normally there isn't that much gold. When it comes to ore, what you'll find is chunks of gold, and you'll also find silver and other types of elements in the mighty ore. Then what they do is they ground it into a powder. They put it through a machine that grinds this rock into a very powdery type of residue. So right here you see some of that rock. Then they decide they add different types of liquid. I believe cyanide is one of the things they put in as well. So what we find is gold in its natural state is not pure. It's got different things tied into it. It's not the standard that's to be set. What they end up doing is creating what is called sludge. And that's what we find here is sludge. And there are different things to help make the heavier gold be able to weigh down how it needs to weigh down. Then they put it in a kiln. They heat it to 2100 degrees. So what ends up happening is this melted gold, which is a heavier element, then the other elements will sink to the bottom. And then what they end up doing is taking what is called sludge off of the top. They pour it into those gold bar casts, and then you get the 24 karat gold after they put an imprint on it. So we see in the world today people that are prospecting for the truth. We have some who may have no religious backgrounds. We have some that may have some religion, but they're seeking the truth. They're trying to find what is true. So they're going out, they're finding chunks of things, they're blowing up positions that they held. They're taking these giant rocks worth of data. They're studying them. They're grinding them in. They're crunching the numbers. They're putting everything together. They sift the garbage away, and what is left is the truth from God's word that is far more precious than gold. What we find in gold is there are impurities that need to be left. And then we find they have to follow the standard for gold to sell how they would like for it to sell. So the first point that we have this evening is following Christ as our example. Jesus certainly has loved us, and he gave himself for us, and he did so for a reason. We look in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What we end up finding is that when we're obedient to the gospel, we're supposed to have died to our old self. We're to be living as Christ would have us to live. He is our perfect example. Later on in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and with its desires. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, we see, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." How many of us could say, "Christ is my life. He is my life. I am so buried in Christ that if he were to return, those that we would appear with him. We would meet him in the air." Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, we have a reminder of what Christ did for us. "He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." Jesus didn't only die for us so that we could be in communication with God again as sin separates us. We find that when we're obedient to the gospel, there is an expectation that we are to be zealous for good works. Zealous is a step above desiring good works. We are to be looking for opportunities to do good works. Jesus died so we can be right with God, so that we can live with him as an example, being zealous for good works. He offered himself to God as an offering and a sacrifice on our behalf. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." We look to 1 John 4 and 14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. That was Jesus' purpose in coming to earth. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, "He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." So what's the definition of propitiation? The word propitiation carries the basic idea of appeasement or satisfaction specifically towards God. Propitiation is a two-part act that involves appeasing the wrath of an offended person and being reconciled to him. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and the establishment of the church allows us to be washed clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when that blood washes us clean, we are back in a fellowship. We are back in a relationship with God. There is nothing separating us from God anymore. Jesus is our perfect example. He obeyed God to the point of death. We look to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. "Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." If not for Jesus, we would be in a lot of trouble. If not for God having a scheme of redemption, we would not have any hope. There would be no hope. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Jesus had to come to be perfect and to fulfill the prophecies that laid behind him so that he could be that ultimate fulfillment to come with power. Jesus had to die. He had to die on a cross, and he had to be resurrected to fulfill the plan to defeat death. And the new pattern was set in Acts chapter 2. In John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, "Let Jesus' example preach how we are to walk in love. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." If we are going to be Christians, we have to walk in love after the example that we have of our excellent Savior. Our second point, a walk with love that is pure. You know, you can't just throw that ground up powder I was talking about. You just can't throw it into what's being burned. There are different things you need to throw in. Manganese dioxide, fluorite, silica flour, borax, and sodium nitrate. This chemical is called flux. And as we learned at the men's retreat, that might be where we get our flux capacitor from. Or that's what Chris said. So what we end up seeing is there are specific things that must be done. the sludge or the slag that we find that rises to the top after the heavier gold sinks to the bottom, that has to be removed. If we're going to have a pure type of gold, that slag has to be done away with. There's not much use for it if we're going to get to the purity of the gold that's at the bottom. Here's another picture of them taking that slag from the top of the molten gold, getting rid of the imperfections, getting rid of what is not gold. They do studies on the slag to ensure that there's not gold in the slag, because that would be a waste of precious gold. So they burn it longer, remember, at 2100 degrees until there's that separation that they want. There's a reason that steel or iron is not as precious as gold. We have tons of iron found and dug up every year. There's not tons of gold that is. It takes so much effort to get this gold. And here we have gold being poured out into one of those gold bricks, and it takes 4 minutes for it to solidify. It's a malleable element. It means it can be moved and bent, but it takes longer than that for it to cool off. Easy to be imprinted. That's the after product. And even when it comes out, it's only 80% pure. They have to send it to another refinery to get it to 99% purity. And at 99% purity, that's the international gold standard. So just holding a Bible doesn't make us a Christian. Living a sinful life and having impurities that separate us from God doesn't make us right with God as long as we wear the label of Christian. You know, much like the odd names earlier that we found, the manganese dioxide, the silica flour, the borax, the fluorite, the sodium nitrate, they have to use those things. If we're going to be called Christian, we have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. That flux that we were talking about, all of those different elements, if you take fluorite out, you're not going to get the gold that you want. You're not going to have the purity that you want. If you take out the silica flour, you take out the borax, you're not going to get the end result that you desire. If we take out repentance, if we take out baptism, if we take out belief, we're not going to be right with God. We have to do and we have to use all of those things. The way they get the pure gold, the way they get to that 99% is the way we get to 100%. 99% is not good enough to God. If we're going to be right with God, we have to get to that 100%, and that's the power of Jesus' blood. Walking, as an example, is much like finding the purity, the extent that they go to get that gold. If we are to walk in love, it includes being pure. We have to keep our minds clean. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, Paul penned, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." When we put those impurities in our life, it's going to bring wrath. If we decide we want to do things our way, we're not going to have the peace of God. The peace of God comes from doing things God's way. We look at people today say, "I can't control what I think." Yes, you can. You have to focus on what you're wanting to think about. You're having to realize where your emphasis is, and if it's in the Word of God, you can have those pure thoughts. Our love should be free from any hint of immorality or greed. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, "But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints." This is a serious concern. "For immoral or greedy persons have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ, but instead will experience a wrath of fire." We need to strive to do our best to keep those impurities out of our life. So we need to look to the positive. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. And a love, if we're going to walk in love and we're going to make purity our emphasis, Romans 12, 9 is a beautiful passage. We see from the pen of Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. If we are going to walk in love, we have to be right with God. If we're going to walk in love, we have to be right with God. When we are pure, God can do with us what He needs to do with us. Gold is malleable. Gold can be moved. Gold can be shaped. And it can do so rather easily. Here we see a piece of flaky gold paper. Because you can do a lot with gold. You can stretch gold out. You can make gold wire. There are certain elements you can't do that with. Because it's not malleable. We can bend. We can mold. We can do all kinds of different things with gold. Even here, this is from around 300 A.D., this is a gold coin. It can be imprinted. It can be changed. It can be manipulated. It can be developed into what we want. I imagine all of us could tell a story of something we have that's gold. So we look to what the prophet Isaiah said that talks about what God's role is to us as mankind. But now, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay, and You are our potter. We are all the work of Your hand. We can be more effective in our walk if we take those impurities out. When we have that pure gold, we can be moved, we can be manipulated, we can be shaped into being effective with what God would have us to be. We have to be right with God if we are going to walk in love. It goes hand in hand. We look to Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 and 21, and I will give them one heart. And a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts go after their detestable things and their abominations, I will bring their deeds upon their own heads, declare the Lord. The heart can be unnaturally hardened, and sin does that. We can allow the situations of our life to harden our heart. We can't have hardened hearts and be right with God. We need to allow God to break our hearts. There's a song that we sing, it might be in our books, about breaking our hearts so that we can be right with God. We can look at Adam and Eve. They rebelled against God because they were immoral, because they were disobedient. They feared that God was withholding something that they wanted. But that wasn't the case at all. God knew. God had their best interest in mind. They allowed their senses and negative emotions to guide their decisions, and their actions ultimately cursed mankind to follow their pattern of selfish behavior. It takes effort to walk in love. It takes effort to be pure, and it takes effort to be right with God. But when we do those things, our walk in love will be the most effective that it can be to those who are in the body, as well as those who are out in our community. We look to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. We can be right with God. And if we take that wrong step, if we are doing things the wrong way, when we repent, God hears us. And like the father of the prodigal son, He is there with arms wide open, ready for us to come back, to be in Christ, to walk in love. Luke chapter 17 and verse 33 ties this point up beautifully. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life, he will keep it. When we are obedient to the gospel, We're putting that old life away. The things that we sought after, the worldly things we sought after, should be gone. Our goal should be what lies ahead. And if we're obedient to the gospel, that goal is a heaven that is so amazing that words cannot describe it. So the conclusion of our lesson this evening. People are searching for the truth today. They're digging, they're blasting, and they're seeking where honest truth lies. If we are going to walk in love, we have to help others as others helped us. There are people who are searching, that are striving to find that precious gold of truth. And in all honesty, truth is far more precious than gold. We have to strive for purity. It's not just enough to have nice thoughts or not do the bad stuff. We have to strive to get the imperfections out, to be right with God. We must be ready for God to use us, to bend us, to mold us. For God to use us effectively, we have to have the mind to walk in love, being the example He would have us to be. If you're not walking in love, if you don't have those impurities out, if you need to repent, you don't have to come forward, but do whatever it takes to be right with God. If that means going home and praying diligently, then we will see a change in your behavior. Or if you need the prayers of the congregation to get you back on your feet, don't be embarrassed and don't be ashamed. Do whatever it takes to be right with God. But if you're not obedient to the gospel, every imperfection, if you're of the age of accountability, every sin you've committed has added an imperfection to you. To be right with God, you have to come in contact with the blood of Christ that takes those imperfections away and makes you 100% pure, which is God's standard. If you've heard and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're ready to repent of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and being immersed into the watery grave of baptism to walk in a newness of life, then to walk in love, remaining faithful to God's plan. If you're not a Christian, become one this evening as we stand and as we sing.